Chapter 5, Courage for Truth. An exhausting night was behind him when there was a loud knock on Kakodaz's door and someone called out, "Joliad, are you in there?" The fox opened his eyes and jumped out of bed, startled. "Yes, I'm coming," he shouted, ran to the door and opened it. Rado stood in front of him with his arms crossed and asked, "Do you know that the sun has been up for half an eternity?"
"Yes, I'm sorry, Rado. I had a bad dream," Joliad explained.
The teacher looked stern, but did not ask further about the reasons for his students oversleeping. "All right, we'll forget about the military court for today, but only because it was your first night here. Don't let it happen again, you hear?" he ruled.
"Yes, it won't happen again. I promise."
"Good, now let's go. I have to leave again. Check with the other students to see what's going on," the teacher ordered, and Joliad nodded curtly. Then he ran to his class and entered the room where his comrades were sitting and discussing. They interrupted when Eurimia got up and ran to her friend. She gave him a kiss, whereupon the other students made fun of it by howling wolfishly.
"Ooh, how was it, sweeties?" asked Atamok.
The vixen turned and exclaimed, "Well, we had more going on in bed last night than you, Atamok." Thereupon laughter spread and Kakodaz's girlfriend sat down again, which he also did now smiling. He was a little embarrassed, but what could he say?
"How did they know about it?"
"We were just talking about the effort to build a big spaceship, when you already feel strong enough, come participate," Atamok then hissed.
"Yes, well," Joliad began, "I would build the thing out of an alloy, and that would be gold and eternitium. It could then intercept heat and radiation. Eternitium, after all, is the hardest thing we have."
"Yeah, right," Atamok continued to blaspheme, "except I'm sure what you had yesterday was even harder."
The class laughed again, after which Eurimia suddenly stood up, ran to Atamok and, before he could react, smacked his ear.
"Shut the fuck up, you stupid asshole," she yelled, as the other foxes looked puzzled and wordless.
Completely stunned, the beaten man caught sight of Eurimia and was halfway to his feet when Kakodaz calmly said, "If you do what you're about to do, I'll make you into carrion." Atamok lowered himself back into the chair and began pouting on his infocom. The student seemed very impressed and Eurimia sat down again. After a while the door opened and Rado came in.
"Well, are you all right?" he wanted to know.
"Yes, everything is fine," Kakodaz agreed.
"Isn't it, Atamok?"
The latter then symbolically showed him that he wanted to cut his throat, a threat to be taken seriously in this country.
Kako squinted his eyes and would have liked to punch him in the face. The rage he felt was similar to the one in his dream. He would have liked to take out his anger at his ancestor Banado on this weirdo. But since it was class time, he couldn't deal with his strange dream anyway. That had to wait.
"Then everything is fine.
So, we were at the metal alloy," the teacher began.
"Gold and eternitium," Joliad repeated.
"Yes, that sounds good. We didn't even think of that," Rado said after a moment's thought.
"And how many Aramarans should there be room for?" he continued.
No one answered because, after all, it was a difficult decision. You couldn't take everyone with you, but who should you leave behind?
"Why don't we just take our cue from the giant fox?" Jerome suddenly had the idea.
"That's just a story, you idiot."
"That's bullshit," hissed Ezrin.
"Yes, but he's right. This is the ship from the novel Time Fox by that.
What was his name?" asked Rado.
"Joliad, you have that book."
Kakodaz startled, affirmed, and took the book out of his bag. He read off the name. "Chenragejes is his name."
"True," nodded the teacher. "This guy hasn't published very much, however, this book has been the talk of the town for a while when it came out.
This writing, let's say better, this science fiction novel contains a chapter describing quite precisely how the giant fox had been built.
Her hull was actually made of an alloy of gold and eternitium, as Joliad said.
Good thing we have someone here who still reads real books," Rado praised.
"Still, it's just a story."
"Whoa, you don't seriously think that stupid cardboard box would fly," Ezrin grumbled again, but her grumbling was ignored by the entire troop.
"Okay, let's make the assumption that the ship would fly," the teacher said.
Where would we get all the material? Do we have enough of it?
Suddenly the classroom door opened and several armed foxes in uniform entered the room. They hastily circled the students sitting at the table. Their teacher turned around, puzzled, as one of the soldiers asked, "Which one of you is Joliad Kakodaz?"
"What's going on here?" asked Pertoriza, confused.
"This is none of your business," one of the uniformed men ruled, pointing his gun at the teacher. Kakodaz stood up and thus revealed himself.
"You have to come with us."
"Why? What do you want from him?" asked Rado. But the soldiers paid no further attention to him, but now surrounded Kakodaz, when his girlfriend stood up and shouted, "Leave him alone. He hasn't done anything." Stunned, Mr. Pertoriza had to watch the situation. If he had tried to intervene, it could have ended badly, because these were soldiers of the leader, after all, and they were not to be trifled with. Joliad did not know what was happening here, but remained very calm and left the room with the first three foxes. They all seemed very cool and tense to him, and the young fox's heart beat up to his throat. As he walked down the hall surrounded by them, he looked left and right, but could not make out any of their faces. Not even their breathing could be heard, only the jingling of various metal parts on their battle suits. They wore dark masks, which facelessly revealed no emotions of their wearers. What did these men want from him? What had he done? What happened here? Rado was about to go after them when the apparent leader of the troop suddenly pointed a laser rifle at his head and threatened, "One more step and I'll turn your skull into a fishing net." Pertoriza put his hands up and grumbled aggressively, "Yeah, it's okay, but get the fuck out of my school. You stupid fucks think you can do anything here." The soldiers left the building and he called after them, "Greetings to His Holiness. You can be sure that I'll complain to your leader, stupid assholes." When Kakodaz and the group were outside the school building, one of them pressed a button on a device similar to a remote control, whereupon they all vanished into thin air. "What's happening here?" he wondered. The young Anthro's body tingled and suddenly he found himself in a large hallway with the gunman. Down the hall to the end. Then through the door. Joliad was dazed and frightened at the same time. "Where am I?" he asked anxiously. "You may rejoice," one laughed. "And don't you dare try to run away." The soldiers disappeared into thin air again. What had happened must have been a kind of beaming, a teleportation. Joliad already knew that such a thing should be theoretically possible, but that it could already be implemented practically was completely unknown to him. Then why did people still travel around by train if they could theoretically all beam themselves? The male fox walked slowly down the light-filled hallway, which must surely be over 5 times as high as he himself was tall. It was cool, the air was very fresh and the sun cast its light on the marble floor. Kakodaz guessed that he must obviously be in the headquarters of the leader of Aramaria. So he was in the middle of this great white tower, which he had looked at before with Rado. Again and again, he wondered what he was doing here, and as he slowly walked down the hall, he was tormented by fear, but he decided to let it all come to him. The fox noticed several huge fox statues lining the left and right sides of the hallway along its entire length. They seemed to be set up and standing there like soldiers, perhaps specially created to be the leader's bodyguards. They were unclothed and looked like the sculpture Joliad had seen at the fountain here in Bolmer. An astonishing resemblance revealed itself. He stopped for a moment in front of one of them and looked at it more closely. Its appearance was very athletic, muscular, and undoubtedly this was a male. A proudly raised head looked at an identical counterpart, also armed with a sword. An imposing smile, which did not seem happy at all, could not hide a certain pride, and it could be seen that this fox, like the other statues, had formed an erection with knots in its fur pouch, a fact that seemed very strange to Joliad. Why were there only male foxes here? Why were they all aroused as they each looked at their counterparts? It was all very pornographic. Was that the way the leader wanted it? This was very beautiful art in Joliad's eyes, no question, but whoever was trying to express something with this, he could not be normal. Kako continued slowly through the hall, whose ceiling was decorated with huge paintings. Large windows between the statues were lined with long, red curtains that blew slowly in a shallow breeze. At the end of the hallway, a large imperial banner flaunted above a golden door. The banner of the Aramaria Empire. The flag. Red, black and white. The diagonal division of colors. What it meant?
glory, honor, power. Whatever citizen of this state looked at it, felt like the young male now. He was proud to be Aramarian, euphoric, self-confident and masculine. Yes, Aramaria was a state of males, warriors and heroes. He almost forgot where he was and that he might be in danger. So his feelings quickly changed again to fear and tension. The hallway was so large that it actually had to be superfluous. What was all the grandiosity about? What was the point of all this space if only the leader lived here? Arriving at the large golden door, the young man felt a little queasy when he saw the sculptures on the door wings. Wolf and fox creatures could be seen, apparently fighting each other. They had bizarre facial features that looked almost demonic. Some wolves seemed to be pierced by swords, while a few heads of their fellows lay at the feet of their adversaries, the foxes. It was a rather one-sided depiction of a battle scene, for while the wolves tore their muzzles open in pain and died, the foxes all looked heroic and energetic. Joliad recognized a few of the foxes. In history class, he had heard of many commanders, men of honor, and politicians. Kakodaz swallowed at this gruesome sight and felt his heart beat again as he slowly opened the door. He looked cautiously into a room where there was a long, oval table. At the far end sat an Aramaran who now raised his head and invited Kako in a very low voice, "There you are, little one. Come and sit with me." The other fox must have been about 50 years old. He was strong, tall and wore the typical state uniform of a general. The student walked up to him and sat down on the chair on the right flank of the table. Someone had prepared a large menu for the leader and he ate from it a fruit that looked like a peach. "Wonderful, these things," he smacked. "Do you want one too, Joliad?" Embarrassed, he lowered his eyes and carefully shook his head. "It is an insult to refuse when the leader offers you something," said the other sternly, drawing a long knife from somewhere and stabbing into the pile of fruit with incredible speed and force, causing it to bang loudly and some of them to hit the ground, squishing. Kakodaz, who had winced in shock and narrowed his eyes, opened them again and anxiously took the fruit that the leader had speared and was now holding out to him. "Thank you, sir," he said softly. He started to eat a small bite and didn't dare to swallow it when Carter unfolded his hands, looked at him and said, "So, you are Joliad Kakodaz." The bite was still halfway down the younger man's throat and he swallowed it convulsively. At that moment, it felt like he was trying to swallow a large rock. "Yes, sir," he pressed out. "Yes, that's who you are. Without a doubt. And Rado Pertoriza is your teacher, isn't he?" "Yes, sir." "So you're in the same classroom as my two kids," Carteron said, smiling smugly. Kakodaz did not understand at first and looked at the leader in confusion. "His children? Which of the students were they?" "Atamak and Yurimi, I mean. I guess you're flat there, huh?" "I didn't know," Joliad stammered. "That's what I thought. But now that you know them a little bit, what do you think of Yurimia?"
"I don't understand, sir."
"Well, it's just us here. You can say it. She's pretty, isn't she? Do you like her?" Joliad did not know what answer the leader might be expecting, but he thought it more sensible to be dismissive. "No," he lied.
"No?"
asked Carteron, looking at him sternly. I mean, yes I do."
"I see," the leader smiled again. "Whatever you do, my boy, just don't lie to me. You got that? I can smell lies, you know."
"Yes, sir," Kakodaz said, lowering his head again. "It is my own personal ability, my unique selling point, which makes me who I am. After all, I am often surrounded by enemies who would like to overthrow or kill me." Kakodaz nodded, "And leave that, sir, aside. You're not serving at the gun yet and you're here privately. Besides, I caught you off guard today. You probably want to know what I want from you. So I guess I owe you an explanation, don't I?"
"You don't owe me anything," Joliad said, noticing his nervousness slowly disappearing.
"Yes, I am. And since I can't refuse anything to a young male fox, I learned that you were with my daughter last night. Is that true?"
"Yes.
But. I had no idea that she—" the young fox stammered.
"Silence!"
shouted Carteron and stood up in a jump, whereupon Kako lowered his head again, gritted his teeth and clenched his eyelids. He was afraid Carteron would smack him, or even worse, punish him. The leader now became very calm again, bent over the completely intimidated fox and whispered, "She has a damn nice body, doesn't she?" Suddenly he started laughing loudly and Joliad did not understand why, but apparently Carteron found his counterpart's intimidated appearance very amusing. "Stand up." He then suddenly ruled. Joliad did as he was ordered and looked frightened into the face of the uniformed man, who was a whole head taller and had altogether a very dapper appearance. The leader smiled and then asked, "May I ask if you might have impregnated my princess?"
"I didn't."
"I have," Kako broke off and looked up sheepishly.
"Ha ha ha.
Yeah, I get it," laughed Carteron now. "I noticed those pictures on her infocom a while back. Be honest, she was making out with you, wasn't she?"
Embarrassed, Kako admitted, "Yes, she did."
Suddenly, the ruler seemed to change his face, for he suddenly appeared very good-humored and relaxed.
"Call me Radovan, my boy. There is no reason for your fear. Come, I'll show you something," he spoke and went towards the door.
Kakodaz was admittedly very surprised by the sudden friendliness of the leader. He seemed completely different than at the beginning of the conversation. So, he followed him and had trouble keeping up. He noticed how straight the back of Carteron was and how proudly and imposingly he walked. He seemed to be graceful and not at all brute-legged and wore this dark blue uniform peppered with many medals. His gait was flawless, almost lithe. If Joliad hadn't known better, one would have thought the leader was just gliding or floating along, strange for such a sturdy fellow. Kaka wondered who Radovan was. So, what he did during the day, how he got all these medals, things like that. Out of the corner of his eye, he tried to catch a glimpse of him, and Carteron seemed to notice, because he kept looking straight ahead, but smiled. The foxes walked down the hall and passed through a door that the younger one had not noticed before. "Where did it come from all of a sudden?" he asked. But the lord replied very curtly, "Wait and see. Everything in its time." Then a seemingly endless garden opened up before their eyes. Everything was brightly lit and everywhere smelled of various flowers. The grass, for some reason, glowed a stronger green than that in Bolmer or Lotto. "Where are we?" asked Kakodaz, his eyes wide. "We're in my backyard, away from Bolmer. At least since we walked through that door."
"I don't understand," Joliad admitted.
"The building we were just in is the government building in the middle of Bolmer. The fruit you just ate was a kopacheka, it contains a psychoactive drug. Actually, we are still in said building and still sitting at my table," the leader explained.
"What, are you saying that you drugged me?" asked Joliad, stunned and enraged. How could Carteron do such a thing to him? What was that all about?
"These fruits, the kopachekas, connect distant memories and emotions of our spirits. This, in turn, helps us to deal with things that we otherwise could not even reach when we dream normally. Kopachekas are our connection to our ancestor Aram."
"What does we mean? Do all Aramarans eat these things?" the young fox wanted to know.
"No, not everyone, but those who are looking for answers to life's questions. Kopachekas lead to knowledge, alcohol does just the opposite and thus cancels their effect. These are the fruits whose brew you have already drunk. I know this about you, too."
"But how do you know that?"
Joliad wanted to know.
"This is not difficult to explain. My daughter drinks this stuff all the time when she is with males. The large amount of alcohol prevents the actual effect of the kopachekas, however, Eurimia likes to use the effect of alcohol when she feels like playing," the leader explained, sitting down on a wooden bench and instructing Kakodaz to take a seat next to him.
"A game? What do you mean by that? You don't really think she loves you, do you? She's just looking for a change. Behavior I don't like, no question about it. Besides, you're too young for her. I don't think she's faking it all for me. She loves me and I love her. It's as simple as that.
Maybe.
For as long as it lasts. Until then, you are also part of my family and enjoy all privileges and protection as my personal guest, Joliad." The latter looked around and saw a colorful landscape. It was a warm, sunny day and the chirping of crickets filled the air. But otherwise, there was an intimate peace that seemed to touch the soul. A few centuries ago, it was discovered that there are ways and means to change space and time. They discovered the power of Kopachekas and the substances they contain. The best thing is that they actually seem to have no side effects. So, you can travel to many different worlds without any problems, the leader continued.
Kako thought and looked into the distance. Everything seemed so real. How could it be that all this was hallucination? He could smell, feel and hear it all, sense, warmth, sounds.
Can you get addicted to it or even die? He asked, concerned. The leader smiled, I have eaten quite a few of these and the effect does not seem to increase. Nor do I have any craving for them. Our ancestors report in their records that these fruits at best make the blood-brain barrier permeable. And that just leads to the fact that already existing capacities of our brains can be used and expand the mind.
What about the entrance here? I didn't see any other doors when I entered the hallway earlier, Joliad wondered.
It doesn't matter, Joliad. It's nice that you can see now, said Carteron, and his interlocutor was startled, because that was exactly the sentence Arya had said to him in his dream.
That's what Arya said too, he spoke excitedly.
Arya? You saw her?
Yes, in my dream, last night.
Oh, congratulations, my boy. If you didn't need Kopachekas to do that, then you're really something.
What did she say? Asked Carteron, visibly impressed.
I know about Banato and what he did. I would love to kill him, I really would.
I see, agreed the leader, but keep it to yourself, will you?
For what reason, may I ask?
If she told you what I think, then the information you now have could sensitively change our views of the world, Joliad, the older man indicated.
Yes, but if everyone knew about it and we made peace with the Samoydans, surely that could stop our decay and save our people.
No. Ruled Carteron. You and your young mind. What do you think would happen? Do you think everyone would joyfully jump off and have sex with the Samoydans? Would everyone realize that the doctrine of our origins is a lie?
No, if the Aramarans knew why there is this separation of our races, they would only hate the wolves more. That would be rather counterproductive and could lead to war again.
Believe me, now would be very inconvenient.
But then why do they hate them so much today, when no one knows about what Banato did?
In ancient times, Aramarans and Samoydans all knew about it. The stories in the Talmar finally transmit seven pups, but not who their father was. The dislike between wolves and foxes is a thing that simply remained. Today, only a handful know the truth, including me and you, of course. There is no real evidence of what really happened at that time. And at some point, even puppies forget why they fight, you know? A thing that works well will continue to do so until it doesn't. And we Aramarans just think that this separation is good. You see, we are masters of recurring processes and regularities.
A pause arose and Joliad let Carteron know that Arya had told him in a dream to act according to this knowledge. He asked what she might have meant by that.
That's a good question, Joliad, Radovan reflected. Perhaps our mother will visit you again sometime. When the day comes, when her instructions are to bear fruit, you will understand her. She wants you to mature slowly, and if she sees that some more help is needed, I'm sure she'll come to you again.
Did she appear to you? Asked Kako then.
Oh yes, smiled the guide, several times. However, she only comes when I have eaten Kopachekas. She made me what I am now, and often warned me of the threat of humans. She did not reveal to me what exactly would happen, but you know her now, she speaks in riddles. She told me that we were genetically stunted and needed to find a solution.
Hence the decision to have the schools work on concepts of escape? Asked Joliad with interest.
Yes, that's where the idea came from. Of course, one generation can't make as much of a difference as is needed. However, you have to start changing things at some point. So I wanted the starting signal for that to come during my reign. I sent you to this school because I know today who you could be tomorrow, Joliad Kakodaz.
The young fox looked at him in amazement and asked, What do you mean?
You'll find out, my boy. Everything in its time, Carteron reassured him.
And, Kako probed, did Arya tell you different stories than she told me?
She just has different plans for each of us sighted ones, kid. I don't want the Samos in our blood, even if this fixin would welcome it.
What do you think would happen?
At some point, our vixen part would disappear completely, the leader explained his refusal. There must be a middle ground, a completely different hybrid race. The extension of ourselves.
Kako Daz nodded, looked into the distance, and contemplated the well-tended garden. The sun was just setting.
A very nice place to think, isn't it? Asked Radovan then.
After all, if we're building a spaceship and we know that humans are going to try to take our planet away from us at some point, why don't we just take their planet away from them first?
That's quite simple, Radovan explained. Gaja, or Earth as they call it, is habitable, but there are no other anthro beings there. Therefore, it would be pointless to settle there.
Because then we would be alone, too, wouldn't we?
Joliad nodded again and understood. He said that it would be a pity if this world would no longer be inhabited by the Aramarans.
Some of our people will continue to inhabit it, and they will continue to do so even after we have eventually found a new home.
I mean, if this building is still standing here by then this empire will still exist, the leader mused.
What do you mean by that? Interjected Kako Daz, irritated.
Carteron, however, did not want to answer too many questions to the other male and said annoyed, "Don't ask so many questions, kid. Take what time gives you.
What do you think? Do you think there are any other hybrids in space?"
"Yes, for sure. Our scientists always say that the probability is quite high. There can't be only Gaja and Alpha Vol. We will eventually travel and find new life."
A thoughtful pause set in.
Carteron sighed loudly in satisfaction before his interlocutor asked him, "Why did you have me brought here?"
The leader grinned, "I heard from Atamach that you spent the night with Yeremia. As a father, I had to check that out.
But if you had sent me an invitation, I would have gladly followed."
"Why this violence?"
The young fox wanted to know and was curious about the answer.
"Well," Radovan began, "if you had gotten her pregnant, you would be dead now. She should grow up first and finish her education. I expect her to give up the idea of space travel and learn a medical profession.
Atamach should be my successor and she should do something that can help the people in hard times. Besides, I know my children very well and I know that Atamach likes to exaggerate sometimes.
Forgive him, but after all, he wants to protect his little sister."
"I see. But space travel is just Yeremia's thing, and it would also be useful to learn something from that field.
After all, we do need space travel.
Put her in a spaceship and I guess she disappears into space forever.
I love my children and want them around me, at least while I'm breathing."
Joliad liked this affection Radovan felt for his children, although it was ultimately rather counterproductive.
But it was like this: if the daughter of the leader would not be able to work in space research, there would be enough other Aramarans.
There should be no shortage of candidates with so many foxes, all of whom were very advanced and intelligent.
"I admire this attitude you have, although I see it a little differently. Anyway, I would not stand in her way of anything she wants to achieve. I love her and I'm not just about the experience of sex.
We live in a society where sexuality can be expressed very freely.
I can't blame you for choosing my daughter right away, of course, because she is very beautiful.
After all, she gets that from me," Carteron laughed and Joliad grinned.
"Yes, she is beautiful and nice," he said, and now he had no shyness left in him at all.
"But perhaps that was also due to the effect of the fruit?
If she did what I think she did with you, then I consider it a nice game.
There's nothing to it.
Do you like her?"
"Oh, yes," spoke Kako firmly.
"Good, quick answer, respect," the leader said, patting Joliad on the shoulder.
The latter felt fatherly warmth emanating from Radovan.
Surely he must have been someone with whom it was easy to get along.
"Yes, you can," he said suddenly, and Kako Daz did not understand.
"What?
Get along with me well.
But, how do you know?"
stammered Joliad.
"How do I know what you were thinking?
Let's say, I can see. One of my other unique selling points. If I didn't have some assets about me, I certainly wouldn't be a good leader for our people, would I?"
"Wow," marveled the younger one.
"What else can you do?
Can I learn that, too?"
"There are things you can't become, because you are like that.
Come on, let's go back. You're about to notice a tingling in your hands and paws. that means the effect of the Kopachekas will wear off in a few moments. Still very impressed by the mind reading, Joliad was about to ask if Carteron himself had a wife, but he beat him to it again. No, I don't have a wife. I'm not much for broads. The mind reading thing is creepy, Joliad said as a tingling sensation actually started in his hands and paws. Everything in front of his eyes blurred and suddenly he found himself sitting on the chair he had sat on earlier next to the leader. The latter stood next to him and asked the still confused fox to go with him. Well, that was a first. Admitted Kako, shaking his head to clear it. The confusion will soon subside. If you do this more often, you'll have less and less trouble with it. Come. When they were standing in the large hallway again and the door closed behind them, the ruler asked him, what do you actually think when you see these statues here? I don't know, Joliad pondered, not knowing what Radovan wanted him to say now. Well, haven't you noticed how this one, for example, looks at his counterpart? He then asked, pointing to a statue. Kakodaz looked at his face again and noted, he looks at his counterpart kind of lovingly. I'd say he has a crush on him. Yes, that's right. That's right, the older man grinned. You should have noticed the excitement he feels when he does that, there between his legs. Love knows many languages, Radovan grinned. You mean the males like each other a little more? Kakodaz tentatively approached the subject. Haha, no, they love each other, kid. If you left them alone, they'd be all over each other, laughed Carteron. Hmm. These statues, not a female. Does that mean you prefer males? Yes, smiled the other, looking into the face of a statue, you can call it that. What does prefer mean? Exclusively, I'd say. The young fox noticed that the leader told him at the very beginning of their conversation that he could not refuse a young male. When he thought about what he could have meant by that, the boy felt a little different when he connected this statement with the new information. But he relied on his feeling, which told him that Radovan was not an evil fox and would not offend him. Completely surprised by the leader's honesty, he then said, I really didn't think so. Why do you speak so openly with me about it? It's none of my business, is it? Why not? You asked and now you're practically my son-in-law, his counterpart then said. The most important thing is the courage to tell the truth about who you are and what you want. Yeah, but I thought. Joliad, you didn't think the great leader of Aramaria was into fur bags? Do I not seem gay to you, not feminine enough? Surprise. The leader then declared. So, since I didn't want to have sex with a vixen myself, I had Automach and Uremia conceived by artificially inseminating a vixen I don't even know. I understand that, but what's so great about sex with males, if you don't mind me asking? The guide turned to him and said calmly, maybe you'll be lucky enough to try it sometime, my boy. I don't mean any games of pleasuring each other or other childish things. Anyway, I believe that only a male fox really knows what a male fox really needs. I will stay with your daughter. Boys don't interest me, Kako said resolutely and demonstratively shook his head. We'll see how you do, Carteron cautioned, and maybe talk again on this subject soon. If you say so. The young fox waved it off. After the two had talked for a while longer, the exit at the other end of the corridor opened and a military-dressed Aramaran approached them. He saluted and said tightly, Mojabari. Samoydans have invaded our observation post at Seligico. Joliad, we'll have to talk more later. I have a lot to do now, Radovan now said seriously. Why, what's wrong? The young fox asked, confused. More on that later, perhaps. Right now, this soldier is taking you back to school. The sudden seriousness that the leader radiated seemed strange to the young male. It seemed as if something bad would happen soon, or it had already happened. Then the leader turned directly to the officer, give my almost son-in-law my Infocom's contact number, and then accept his friend request afterwards if necessary. You are personally responsible for this, understand? Very well, sir. Joliad, whenever something should be, please get in touch. We'll meet again soon. Be nice to my daughter until then, he ordered and ran down the hall. But Radovan, what's going on? Where are you going all of a sudden? Joliad called out questioningly and took a step forward. He stopped, however, and looked after his father-in-law to be, as he made a fast running start, and Kako could see his athletic appearance even better. Then Radovan turned around so that he ran backwards a few steps and shouted, "Oh yes, tell her I love her and make sure she doesn't get pregnant."
"Yes, I will, Radovan," Kako called after him.
"Please come with me, sir," the soldier said, and Kako Daz immediately felt a whole lot taller at that moment of being said sir too. The foxes went back to where Kako had been beamed before, and again the soldier pressed a small device. Joliad wanted to know what it was and how it worked, but already the males disappeared as if by magic. Then Joliad was back in front of the academy entrance, and the soldier held out a piece of paper with a number on it. "This is the contact number of the leader. Please keep it to yourself, sir."
"Yes, I will do that, thank you. I don't have my own infocom yet, though," Kako indicated.
"Wait, sir," the uniformed man spoke, typing briskly on his own device.
"It's reset and good as new, sir. Latest version." The uniformed officer held out the infocom to Kako Daz and saluted, whereupon the young fox thanked him, took the device, and the officer was beamed away again. Since it was already nightfall, Joliad quickly ran into the building and sought out Yuremia's room. He knocked and hastily called out, "Yuremia. Are you there?"
"Yes, I'm coming."
The door opened and Kako looked into the beautiful green eyes of his girlfriend, who was quite surprised.
"Oh, Joliad," she exclaimed, falling into his arms.
"What happened?"
She kissed him hastily and pulled him into her room. Apparently, she had been nibbling from the Copaque, for her kiss tasted of that drink, which was unmistakable to Joliad.
"We were talking, Radovan and me. He's actually quite nice. If that's the way you talk about him," she commented, "you must have a chip on your shoulder.
Why didn't you tell me he was your father and Adamok's father?" Joliad wanted to know.
"Oh, I'm sorry about that. I had no idea that was going to happen. We would have talked about it later. But Adamok, that retard, when I get my hands on him. He must be to blame for this."
"Let him be. He's just trying to protect you. You could tell him we're together, though, and that your father thinks it's okay.
He even called me his almost son-in-law," Kako said proudly and smiled.
"Really?"
his girlfriend asked in amazement as she and Joliad sat down on her bed.
"Oh yes. I was even addressed as sir."
"From whom?"
"Well, from a soldier. One came running, because your father had to leave quickly. Somewhere Samoydans had invaded.
I think in Seligico," explained the male.
"Oh, it's not really a big deal and sounds more dramatic than it is," the vixen waved it off.
"It happens all the time."
She kissed him again, but a little longer this time, and when her lips touched Joliad's, they tasted sweeter than anything he had ever tasted.
"So," she asked then, "what do you think of my father like this?"
"Oh, he's cool. He also told me that you and your brother were created through artificial insemination because he didn't want a vixen by his side."
"So he told you he likes males?"
"Yes, and he thought there was probably nothing to it.
Why do you ask?"
"It's really nothing special, is it? Guys who like males are out there, aren't they?"
"Well, you still shouldn't tell everyone right away.
He stands by it, but who knows what could fall on his fingers if the wrong people find out," Yuremia asked.
Her boyfriend thought for a moment and then said, "Well, if he likes the same sex, who's going to blame him? It doesn't bother me."
"Not you, but others would certainly credit him with that as a weakness," the vixen said.
"Others?
Well, politicians, enemies and so on."
"I see. And how do you come to terms with the fact that he is like this and that there has never been a mother for you?"
Kako probed.
"Let him do it. He takes good care of us and I don't think we need a mother. It's okay for Adamok and me. We don't know any different. We've been very spoiled puppies. Besides, I think the statues with the thick fur bags are very nice too. It's a nice art style he likes there," she grinned, and while she remarked that, she looked like she was completely lost in a dream.
"Yeah, I can guess you like that. I heard you have such preferences," her boyfriend said mischievously.
The vixen leaned toward Joliad, who then asked, "Does he have a lover then?"
"I haven't seen anyone there but him," Yuremia sighed. "No, he doesn't. He always says he doesn't have time for it.
I do think he's lonely, but that's why he has his dogs.
Dogs? What are dogs, please? Asked Joliad, confused.
I only know the word son of a dog, bitch, as a swear word.
Oh, you haven't seen any of them? His girlfriend asked, clearly puzzled by this.
He has several sheepdogs and huskies.
Dogs are almost like us anthro beings, except that they are still quite primal animalistic. They walk on four paws, can't talk and behave like wild animals, Eurimia explained, grabbing her friend's shirt and scratching his chest fur.
Dogs. Oh well, it dawns on me now, the latter said and sighed, enjoying this caress. He wondered why, however, Aria, who according to lore was also an anthro, had appeared to him as a four-legged she-wolf. He resolved to ask her that, should they meet again.
It's good to have you back, Eurimia murmured, and they kissed.
Your father knew what we were up to, by the way, I mean in bed, Kako said.
Oh no. His girlfriend wailed, don't tell me you were thinking about that when he squeezed you.
I didn't realize he could read minds until later, the male defended himself, how could I have known before?
Yes, he does that all the time. But you can escape it by thinking of something completely nonsensical, for example, the old woman who mimes the night watch here.
Ah yes, I see. That's a great ability, though.
Anyway, he said to remind you not to get pregnant.
Well, I'm supposed to pay attention to that.
Pregnant? From the blowjob? She asked incredulously.
Well, you know, if we ever do other things where it could happen.
Oh, yes, Eurimia understood, and then looked deeply into her friend's eyes.
Do you still want to do certain things with me today, sweetie?
Would you want me to?
Oh yes. Right now I couldn't imagine anything more beautiful.
I just missed you so much, his girlfriend said sweetly, reaching into his pants.
He sighed and then said, I love you too, sweetie.
Lights out.
Commanded Eurimia, and the lights were turned off. While they undressed, kissed and caressed their bodies, thoughts came into Joliad's head that threatened to ruin the mood. Radovan had told him that his daughter already had several males with whom she had only played games. Was it going to happen to him, Kako Daz, too? Would she get tired of him? And if so, when?
When these negative thoughts seemed to become overwhelming, the male interrupted and pushed Eurimia away from him.
Lights on.
He called, looking sad.
What's the matter?
What's wrong?
The vixen asked, irritated.
Eurimia. I have questions in my mind that plague me. I don't know how to begin. But I want to be honest with you, and I hope you'll be equally honest with me. But of course, Joliad. Ask anything you want.
Joliad realized that he could speak openly to her, and had too.
Nevertheless, he had a lump in his throat and wrestled mentally with himself and his words.
How should he start?
What would Eurimia think?
What would happen next?
If he didn't speak now and just had sex with her, he knew, he would be doing it with a lie. He would be lying to her, and he didn't want to do that to her.
I know this is unexpected, but I talked to your father about you too, Joliad began as his girlfriend listened curiously, and he said you've had several partners. He also said that it was related to drinking alcohol and that the previous love affairs were just a kind of game for you. Is that really so?
Well, she sighed, admittedly, I'm looking for fun. Actually, I'm not looking to make a commitment or even start a family.
I understand, Joliad then interrupted her briefly.
Joliad, we had a little too much alcohol that night. We were drunk and horny and lost control of our emotions.
Didn't you tell me that we are together now? Why are you saying something completely different now? Didn't that mean anything to you?
Yes, Joliad, we are. But it's not that we have to have a happy marriage right now. I just don't want that restriction yet.
We're young. Let's just enjoy the time.
Kakodaz was disappointed and angry at the same time. So it seemed to be true, Eurimia was fun-oriented and just wanted to sweeten the time with him. Of course, he wouldn't have started from family right away either, but the fact that she wanted to keep all doors open was truly hurtful to him.
Oh, and what was that just now? Did you want to sleep with me because you like me, or are you horny for me again because you've had a drink and there's no other male?
maybe I should actually emulate your father and go to my friend's house in Seljuko to be gay with him. Suddenly the young fox was frightened of himself. Had he just spoken to a vixen like that? He couldn't possibly have said that, let alone meant it.
Jolyad, I'm just not the type for anything festive. It was not good that my father talked to you about it. Maybe now you have the image of a slut of me having sex with all the males in the school. Sure, I was with a few of them, but I never took advantage of them. They wanted it too and were fine with it when I told them after a while that it went no further with us. They didn't care, because after all they could satisfy their urges. I too have certain urges and I felt the same way. It was obvious that the vixen was very uncomfortable with this conversation. Surely she wished that Jolyad was also only interested in his satisfaction, like most of her former lovers. Kakodaz understood that they had different views on this and said, I understand that you need your fun. However, I personally am faithful and would expect the same from my partner. I couldn't live with myself if one day you came home and revealed to me that you had something with someone else. It's okay, you just want sex, not love in the sense I understand it. You don't have to be embarrassed about that. If it makes you feel better, so be it. Are you disappointed in me now? Asked Eurymia meekly. No, the male smiled and gave her a gentle kiss on the lips, not anymore. It says something about you. Only the one with the excessive expectation is disappointed. I was, but only because of my naivety. I expected it to be the right thing to do. Obviously, it's not. And what did you mean when you just said you'd better go to Seljuko and be gay with your Samoyedan boyfriend? Carteron told me that he was gay and even suggested that I try it with a man. Of course I said no, because I can't imagine that at all. Amarok, my male friend, and I were quite young when we last saw each other, but I like him. He is a dear friend and I already feel a certain affection for him. I don't know if you can call it love, but the feeling is similar. Maybe we are brothers rather than good friends. I have no idea what it would be like to sleep with him, though. The vixen gently hugged her friend and sadly whispered in his ear that she was very sorry about all this and did not want to hurt him. Jolyad was a kind and good-hearted fox who deserved better. The latter thought and broke away from the embrace. He sat down on the edge of the bed, turned his back to her and lowered his head when his vixen looked at him, lying on his side and scratching his back. Why had only the name Amarok escaped him? Damn. A short while passed when his girlfriend sat down next to him and put his head on her shoulder with one hand. It wouldn't matter if it was because you actually feel love for him, Jolyad. There may be a subconscious reason you mentioned him. You were thinking about him when you just experienced this disappointment. You were subconsciously seeking his protection. You can only answer the question about the feeling you have towards him yourself. Have courage to tell the truth and don't rule out everything just because you think it's unusual or indelicate, she said calmly and gently scratched the head of the male dog, who now seemed very sad. We're not gay, though, he claimed. You've tried sexual things, though? What can you call that? We played around with our bodies, caressing them all over, telling each other our fantasies, Jolyad admitted sheepishly, tears in his eyes. Eurymia gently wiped it off him as she asked, So, how was it for you? It was already very nice. But those were all just games, just exploring your own gender. Oh, a lot of males do that at first. Did you do that more often together? She wanted to know. Yes, we did. But I'm not into males, if that's what you're thinking now, Kakodaz said and new tears welled up in his eyes. There's nothing to it, Jolyad. I think all males have tried things like this before. But if you've done it more than once, Eurymia began, you shouldn't close your mind to the idea. What idea then? Asked Jolyad, looking into her beautiful fox eyes. She smiled sweetly, looked at him lovingly, and declared, If you felt more than fun in this, if you enjoyed it, loved him, then you should forget about me and rather have your experience with him. But, stammered Kako. He was of heavy courage. Who was this woman to be so affectionate with him? So understanding? Actually, he was angry with her because, after all, she obviously didn't really feel anything for him. Nevertheless, it was now that he was crying and feeling bad, even though she should have been the one who was miserable. Well, as far as my attitude towards love is concerned, I'm really not the right one for you, Jolyad. They were few, but very beautiful moments, but for which I am very grateful to you.
I will not be able to meet your expectations of me in life, but I do not want to hurt you. I am not mature enough and you are probably further along than me, and most other males, I can tell you. You should go to your male friend and tell him you like him and how you want to experience more with him. But what will become of the two of us now? Is it over? Kako asked sadly. Oh, sweetie, Yurimiya tried to reassure him and gave him a big kiss. Someday you'll force yourself into a role that doesn't suit you. Or I'd have to force myself. It wouldn't really be good for either of us, as we tick differently. Think of us as very good friends. I'm glad you showed me your innocence and that I was allowed to be your first partner. And even though I thoroughly enjoyed it all, the fact that you named your friend tells me that he means a lot to you and deserves you more than I do. I'm sorry, Joliad said ashamedly, turning away from the vixen. Tears ran down the flanks of his muzzle and made his fur glisten. It's not bad, sweetie. I think you have to make the right decision, go to him, take him in your arms, kiss him. The vixen animated him. I don't know, Joliad pondered, and now he was in a quandary. He would have preferred to sink into the ground, or better to die right away, then he could have saved himself all these problems, he thought. But Yurimiya pictured to him how beautiful everything could be, if only he were with Amarok. Imagine how he, too, kisses you softly on your lips and gets excited, begging you to do it right the first time. Two males, that would be something, hee. Joliad looked at her in amazement and asked, seriously? Of course. I bet that would be very hot. I do hope he looks good. But what will be left of our beautiful days together? Asked Kako sadly. That tomorrow at the latest I will be very sorry for having lost you to a strange Samoyedan, because I am simply young and stupid, laughed the vixen. Now the male fox also grinned and felt that she really meant what she was saying. He was very impressed by her lightness, even if it was a pity that their time together was very short. Nevertheless, he was secretly looking forward to seeing his longtime friend again. So he nodded and said, yes, all right. All I can say is that it was a nice time with you, and that I wish we'd stay friends forever. I promise you that, Joliad. I don't know if you're really going to start a relationship with this wolf, but surely you know that every gay man has a so-called best friend, right? Yes, Kako smiled and took the vixen in his arms with relief. The sound of her feminine voice, which was so sincere, honest and benevolent, almost reminded the young male a bit of his mother, with whom he always had a very balanced relationship. He hugged her tightly and could not see that she had tears in her eyes and smiled. But when they loosened their embrace, they had already disappeared. Okay, Joliad, please give me one more nice, long kiss. The last and most beautiful one for quite a while. Then we'll go to sleep. Tomorrow and the day after tomorrow there is no school and I want to have a good sleep, Yurimiya asked her friend. He gave her a very long and romantic kiss, which she received with pleasure, closing her eyes contentedly. They embraced each other with hugs, which they both enjoyed very much. When they had finished the kiss, Kakodaz stood up and looked at his Yurimiya for another long time. I've never kissed a male so innocently and tenderly, the vixen then said, looking up at her friend. Really? The latter asked. Amarok may get an insanely handsome chestnut who is very good kisser, very masculine, she began, glancing at the male's crotch with a smile, and has a lot to offer on top of that. Thank you, Yurimiya. As he was about to walk out the door, his girlfriend said, go see him. If you are really such good friends, he will surely miss you. You'll have time tomorrow and the day after. Trust me, he'll share your feelings. Yes, I will, Joliad confirmed. Yurimiya, I will never forget your encouragement. Whatever will come of it. It's too bad things are the way they are. I love you anyway, never forget that. I love you too, sweetie, he got in reply and went back to his room. He sat down on his bed, thought and asked himself many questions. Some of them made him liven up for a moment, others rather despair. He couldn't clearly identify his feelings, but decided to wait for the meeting with Amarok to see how he would have changed and thought about all this. Lying in bed, he looked at the starry sky. A beautiful, vast distance. It all seemed endless. It was quiet and far away from all problems. To distract himself, Kako thought about what they had discussed in class, so somewhere out there might be other life. But would he, too, be
be one of the lucky ones allowed to make the journey through space? Would there be a spaceship, now that they were very close to the maturity of free energy propulsion? As he nodded off, images of a huge flying machine appeared in his mind's eye, bearing the words Agamemnon. Where this strange word came from, Kakodaz could not explain, but he clearly saw the Aramaran characters in front of him. The Agamemnon, in his fantasies, was made of an alloy that shone like gold, and it embarked on a seemingly endless journey through space. The male fox blinked and dismissed this image without thinking about it further. Much more important was his friend. More important than what might be in a few years. Now there was only this one wolf for him, this one reunion. Oh Amarok, I hope you understand how I feel right now. I would gladly take you with me if I should ever leave this world, the male spoke softly, smiling at the pleasant thought that he and his Samoyedan friend might be equally awake in bed at this moment, thinking of each other, even though they had not seen each other in a long time. Sometime later, he abruptly fell asleep.